Y'all, if you are a queer parent, and I have a feeling you might be, and you're dreaming of the ultimate family getaway, you have to check this out, y'all. Gays with Kids is hosting their fifth annual LGBTQIA+ Family Spring Break from April 2nd through April 6th, 2026. Mark that on your calendars. It is going to be the perfect mix of fun, community, and a beautiful chance to build real connections with other LGBTQIA families, like mine, because we're going to be there. We're going to be there too, and I want to see you there. This is it going to be 3 nights aboard Royal Caribbean International, cruising through the Bahamas, surrounded by other amazing queer families. If this sounds like your kind of trip, because it does for me, you're going to head to the link in the show notes to grab your spot. Oh, and don't forget to mention that you heard about it from the Queer Family Podcast. And come say hi to me when you're there. Okay, I hope to see you there. Let's get on with this show.
Pride Daily.
Hi there, I'm Kev McGraw, and this is Pride Daily. A homophobic TikToker's crying his little heart out over AI videos portraying him as gay. Next, as video games firm Electronic Arts is sold to a Saudi-led consortium, is their LGBTQ+ content at risk? And Sylvester Stallone's wife says the children of Hollywood stars turn out transgender because their lives lack structure. Sylvester's clearly the brains of the outfit. Pride Daily is the world's only daily LGBTQ+ news podcast, bringing you the top three global stories in just 2 minutes. Everyone's welcome. Search Pride Daily in your pod app.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Be Parent Surrogacy. Mention the Queer Family Podcast when you reach out and you will receive $2,000 off any service you book. It is also brought to you by our friends at California Cryobank. Use code QueerFam25 for a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. Let's go start your family building journeys today.
The Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.
Hi, Gerson. I'm trying to get this so you can see my awards behind me. This should just be in the show too. Jamie trying to make sure you can see the awards behind her. Because what else are they good for? They just sit there. Oh, here comes the dog. Oh, this is just a blooper reel at this point, Gerson. You can keep it or cut it out. I don't even know. All right, come on up. There she goes. She's going to shake a little bit. We're going to get that sound in. She's getting settled. Like the drama, the things that ensue. Welcome to the Queer Family Podcast, the show all about family, but with gay. I am your gay host, Jamie, and this is the show that highlights, celebrates, uplifts, and normalizes LGBTQIA families in all of our fabulous identities. And this episode does not disappoint at all. I got to sit down with Naya, the founder of Be Parent Surrogacy, also one of the sponsors of this here show. This is an ally episode. I do those from time to time. And Naya is an ally in the true sense of the word. Listen, you all know this already. Finding sponsors who truly see and value queer families is not easy. It really isn't. And I hear you're too niche more times than I can count from potential sponsors. But Be Parent is one of the rare companies that doesn't just talk the talk, they actually walk the walk. They show up for us, they invest in our stories, and they actively work to make queer family building more accessible around the world. And beyond their support of this show, Naya herself has been in the surrogacy world for years, and she's built an agency that centers transparency and care, and she is deeply committed to helping LGBTQIA+ folks build our families safely and with dignity. Today, in this year little episode, we get into international surrogacy options, cost differences, emotional quiet times, the realities of the journey. And Naya even opens up about her own experience searching for a sperm donor and freezing embryos as a single person. It's real, it's heartfelt, and it's exactly the kind of conversation that makes this show what it is. We are deep diving into surrogacy as it pertains to doing it through an agency. And it's really, really great. And I also want to add that this is our final episode for season 20. 20, y'all. I can't even believe I'm saying that out loud. Season 20, final episode. We'll be taking a little breather before we're back with brand new episodes in February. But don't worry, y'all. Your feed isn't going to go quiet. I'll be sharing some favorite archived episodes and maybe dropping a little bonus magic here and there. So just make sure you stay subscribed and you stay close. I have a new project on the horizon, which will also be coming, hopefully, in February. I have been working behind the scenes with Jose Rolon, NYC gay dad, who I have interviewed a couple of times on this year's show about his family building journey. But he and I have embarked on a new little project, a new podcast called Love Take Two. And it's an in-studio podcast, like actually like fancy, like we are in studio with our actual guests. What? I can't even believe it. And we've been filming episodes the past couple of months. We're getting everything together. And that is set to launch in February as well. Think of Jose and I as the gay Kelly and Mark. That's how we're thinking of ourselves. And we're interviewing guests about their take two moments in life, the sequels in life that oftentimes turn out to be the better versions of life. It's a really great little show, and I'm so excited for y'all to see it. So make sure you're keeping touch and you're checking in, and we've got some great stuff coming on the horizon. And of course, the Queer Family Podcast will continue to share our stories, because this is really important work and these are really important stories, and I would never ever, this is my purpose, and I'm not stopping this year's show either. Maybe someday it'll be in a studio though. How exciting would that be? Anyway, let's get into the episode. I'm so excited for you to hear all about Be Parent and what it's like to go through surrogacy at an actual agency that holds your hand through each and every step. All right, let's do it. Helen, not to mention my son is homesick, and I'm sorry if you have been hearing Power Rangers in the background, because that's what he's watching right now. He's got some tummy troubles today. Yay, parenting. Am I right? All right, let's get into the episode. Helen and Bueller are watching Power Rangers with him right now, smoking their cigarettes, drinking their whiskey. I'm going to ask them to roll this tape. Helen, Beulah, they're not real. I don't have assistants. I don't have anybody helping me with my son today or this little podcast, except Gerson, my editor. Thank you, Gerson. Helen, Beulah, let's roll that tape. All right, let's go. Let's get into it.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Hi, Naya.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm good. It is so wonderful to be here talking with you. I'm super excited to hear your story and everything you do for actually our community. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And I'm excited for our interview as well.
Well, let's do it. Let's jump right into it. Can you tell everybody at home who you are and why you're here talking to the Queer Family Podcast?
I'm Naya. I've been around in the surrogacy field almost 8 years. I founded the Be Parent Surrogacy Agency, which is an international agency. And Be Parent is like home for everyone, like regardless of their family status, for the same-sex couples, singles, like the heterosexual couples, for everyone who looks to build the family with help of surrogacy options. And also, I do have a personal experience with IVF. I'm an IVF patient myself. And that's what helps us like to be like close to the intended parents' understandings of how to build the family.
Yes. And we're going to hear about your personal experience, and we're going to hear a lot about Be Parent surrogacy as well. And we just heard Anish and Miguel's story with Be Parent surrogacy. And that's another reason why I'm so excited to talk to you, because Anish, and a big takeaway for me from Anish and Miguel's story is how much they loved the personal touches that Be Parent surrogacy gave to them on their journey. And that was my hugest takeaway from them. And I love that. And when it comes to family building journeys in the LGBTQIA plus community, we know we're going to accept help. We're going to have to accept help in most instances, many instances. We need help. We're missing one part and we need help, right? Finding the organizations and finding the agencies that are really, really there for our community and who really, really do their best to uplift and celebrate and help our community is priceless. And I feel like I have found one in Be Parent Surrogacy. So I'm super excited.
So happy to hear that. So like what helps us like to understand everybody involved in the surrogacy journey, like starting with intending parent or like the surrogate or egg donor or sperm donor, everybody who contributes to the surrogacy is like Be Parent team is like has their own experience with the fertility treatment surrogacy, because some of the our co-workers are like intending parents themselves, so they've been through the surrogacy process. Some of them are egg donors, surrogates, so and the sperm donor. So like it's like puzzles like from each side, which helps us like to tailor all the surrogacy journeys like based on their inquiries and what they are looking for to achieve within a year time frame with from this surrogacy journey.
And that's what the feeling I got from Anish and Miguel is that you were there every step of the way and they didn't feel alone, because on this journey, there are quiet times. There are, and they explain that too. You know, those quiet times are the hardest times when you're just waiting to hear about how many embryos you got, or you're waiting to hear, you know, it's a busy journey.
It's a waiting constant, like be like, so, and also like what is with LGBT community, like waiting is a different than with it is with a heterosexual couple. So like, there are like quite huge differences regarding that. So, but like waiting is hard. And like, especially when you're approaching to surrogacy, like with LGBT community is easier because they are like fresh with the surrogacy journey. And to translate, I don't know how to say, like to understand, like waiting seems harder, obviously, or waiting some, but it is manageable. While in heterosexual families, when they are approaching to surrogacy, they've been 10, 15 years of the failed IVF treatment. Yeah. So waiting for them is more stressful.
Yeah.
And there is no patience left.
Yes. Well, I find that it, to your point, I call us the LGBTQIA community.
I love how you say that.
I like to make it sound fancy in French.
It's more fancy and like, because like it's hard to keep up and like say like fancy, because like when you did just go with LGBTQIA, it sounds very like lovely French.
Yeah. And so what I find it, because the LGBTQIA community, we know from the get-go that we're going to have to use help. We come with kind of like a little bit of joy. Yeah, we come with joy and patience to the game right away, because we know this could take some time and we're excited to finally like start on this journey. Whereas a lot of heterosexual couples, I call them non-queer couples, a lot of non-queer couples, like to your point, have already been trying for so long and they are impatient, and rightly so, it hasn't been working. And there's a level of sadness and disappointment in the fact that they couldn't do it the way they wanted to. Whereas for us, we already did the talking through. We already decided which path we were going to take. And now we're finally to the point where we're getting on the journey. So we're like excited. But that being said, there's still a lot of quiet times. And having the agency there, having personal attention, personal people who you know and who you speak with regularly to hold your hand through it, I think is a really wonderful added bonus. Now, before we get into the intricacies of your agency and the things that you offer and the things that you really care about, I really want to dig a little bit into your personal story, your family building journey, because I feel like there's a story there that I could know a lot about, perhaps, and I would love to like talk to you about it.
I'm currently in like looking for a sperm donor, which I can say was like easy for me, because it's been a year since like I've explored all the sperm banks, and like I'm still for the one. So I think sometimes I'm very picky, but I'm not picky, but also it's very hard. So like what is hard is like when is a patient, like intending parent, going on the donor databases and you have loads and loads and options like to choose the one. So like I think like it's confusing, because the last time I did, there was like 1,300 donors, and I was like, okay, every evening time. It's like bedtime reading stories. So I found like 100, then 10. And you know how it is. You went through that part.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find a donor. Sometimes I wish there was anonymous donation. So I don't know. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to see the picture. This is what I'm looking and like, fine for me.
Interesting. And well, you can start your own agency for folks who want that. But I'll tell you what, I call this search and I have spoken to over 300 people and many have used donor sperm. I call this search lovingly the search for the superhuman.
Yeah.
Because we get crazy. When you have suddenly all of the choices in front of you, why wouldn't you make sure you're picking the very best one? And so we do get, like, I ruled somebody out because they had acne as a teenager. I'm like, who doesn't have acne?
Because like, you get like, it's not the accident pregnancy. So it's not unplanned pregnancy. It's a plan. So everything is planned and you want to make sure you do everything best. So what aligns to you regarding hobbies, the personality traits, everything, you want to make sure, even though like genetics, like, okay, 50% is yours, 50% is others, but 50% is like mainly for the environment you're going to raise your kids. So like most of the time when we see the donor conceive the kids, you don't see the donor resemblance. You see the mother or father who raised them. Like you see lots of traits like to each other. So genes like sometimes are like very overrated.
I know, but we still get a little cuckoo.
We still get thinking.
We do. And it's true. And it's across the board. And that's why it's so important to tell these stories so that everybody knows this is normal. It's okay that you're like really going into this and making spreadsheets and it's taken you a year.
Sure. Like by next year, that's what I said. By February, we should get going. There is no time to wait. So
yeah, you're fine. We'll be right back.
Queer Family Podcast, love is love.
Okay, y'all. So speaking of the donor search, this is literally the perfect moment to shout out the place where you can find the donor, California Cryobank. You know them. You love them. I love them. They've been supporting this show all year. And listen, we know the search can get a little intense. And we all turn into amateur geneticists scrolling for the perfect human, but California Cryobank really does make it easier with detailed profiles, medical histories, childhood photos, some adult photos, the whole thing. So if you're in the stage of your journey where you're ready to start looking at donors, go take a look. And of course, use code QueerFam25, which will get you a free level 2 subscription to their donor catalog. You can also use that code towards a discount on a level 3 subscription, which gives you even more information about the donors. And as we have illustrated, the more info you know, the better. If you're gonna go down the rabbit hole, you might as well save a little money doing it. Go to cryobank.com and use code QueerFam25. Okay, let's get back.
Hey, it's Hillary Frank from The Longest Shortest Time, an award-winning podcast about parenthood and reproductive health. We talk about things like sex ed, birth control, pregnancy, bodily autonomy, and of course, kids of all ages. But you don't have to be a parent to listen. If you like surprising, funny, poignant stories about human relationships and, you know, periods, The Longest Shortest Time is for you. Find us in any podcast app or at longestshortesttime.com.
To this show.
Love is love.
Can I ask you, can I get a little nosy and ask you, why do you need a sperm donor and what's happened there?
I had a partner, but like we kind of got the divorce. So now I'm like running like the beeper and like there is no personal time. And I'd rather have like kind of insurance policy, at least having the embryos when I'll be ready to become a mom. I think it's going to come in a couple of years. So, and I want to have like kind of insurance for myself for the future. Because like there are like lots of social egg freezing, this and that. But if you're going to check with the embryologists and doctors, everybody will tell you if you have a chance, create the embryos and freeze the embryos rather than the oocytes. Because oocytes, you need at least 2-3 rounds to have as many oocytes as possible to later on create the embryos. So
right. Once from frozen. Yeah.
insurance and a little bit of guarantees. Once again, IVF is not 100%, but have a little bit of security over there. It's better to have frozen embryos than the opposite.
Yeah, I mean, and you know firsthand because you run a surrogacy and IVF agency. So you know firsthand. And so you're going to go into single motherhood, or you're just going to start out and who knows what'll happen, but it's an insurance policy. And I think that's wise. And I don't think it should be stigmatized to go through this IVF process. But that's very exciting for you. And I wish you all the best in this search, because I know we get cuckoo, but you'll find the right one. You'll find it. Yeah, and no matter.
You'll always come. So.
Yeah. And no matter who you choose, you're going to love that baby. Like, it all is just a moot point, to your point. Like, it doesn't, none of this, I mean, it matters, but, and it feels like the biggest decision of your life.
You have to be ready, because that decision will change your life. You have to be ready to have a sleepless night, to be as patient as possible, because you're going to raise the newborns. And there is no, like, you are not going to have, like, the proper adult communication. First 3 years will be, like, surrounding with your kids. So you have to be ready for that.
Yeah, 100%. And so I want to know what brought you into, like, the surrogacy world. What prompted you to go towards creating this agency, and what's the story there?
The agency was like, idea of creating this one was like, I wanted to have a safe place for everyone and to provide the transparent surrogacy options to everyone involved, because we know, like, every country has, like, the good and bad, like, agencies. I wanted to make sure this is a safe place for everyone, for the surrogate carriers, for the egg donors, and for the intended parents. And there is no, like, no hard feelings from each other. Like, they're, like, everybody builds as a community. So to make sure, like, everybody's respected throughout the journey.
Yeah, and it feels like you do a good job with that. And your Be Parent is for people all over the world. So it's totally international. So U.S. citizens can use Be Parent and build their family through you, regardless of where you are in the world, which is very interesting.
Recently, like, with lots of changes, this and that, like, what's happening in U.S., like, we've seen lots of intending parents are, like, seeking help, like, internationally.
Yeah.
Because surrogacy options are internationally are more affordable than, unfortunately, in US. And also, like, the time frame, some of the people have exactly a time frame. They don't want to be in the surrogacy for 2, 3, 4 years waiting for surrogate carriers, or, like, they want to have, like, affordable options as well as, like, knowing exactly what their journey will look like for a time frame.
And it sounds to me like you have, like, you figured, I don't know how you do it, but you have a way that when they come, they can start the journey, like, right away. And there's no waiting time. Like, you get on the ride, and you're, here we go, let's do this.
Yeah, pretty much. We don't delay intending parents. Intending parents delay us based on their schedule, working schedules, this and that. So we are ready whenever you feel it's a time for you to build the family.
So how would it work? Like, if I was going into the surrogacy journey and I'm in New York City, like, how does that work with this international thing? I'd love just, like, a rundown of.
We call it, like, we have a B-Bodies. We have a B-Body. So B-Body is, like, kind of brand ambassador of the B-Parent, so which will be assigned to you. We have in US, like, we have in New York, we have in Washington, we have in other states as well, who was our former intending parents and will walk you through the process. So you will have a local as well.
Like an ambassador. So you'll be, like, assigned.
Assigned to the local ambassador who's going to walk you through what they're like, how you're going to move, like, the legal wise, this and that. So all the process to have a local support in your hometown. However, like, surrogacy journey starts with, first is, like, the medical screenings to understand where are we standing. Are we okay to start the surrogacy journey next week? Or we need some more, like, the treatments, improve the oocyte quality, improve the sperm quality. Depends, every case is individual. After that is, like, legal screening to see, like, the criminal records and everything to make sure you're legally cleared. And then it's, like, planned.
Because internationally you have to be, interesting, yeah.
And also to make sure, like, everything is done, like, as correct and as ethical as possible.
Right, yeah, Yeah.
And after that is like your trip, you plan your trip to our locations, which will be nearby to Mexico.
Oh, instead of going to Europe, you have locations in Mexico.
We have in Europe and we have in Mexico as well. But U.S. citizens, it's easier to come to Mexico because it's like 4 hours, 5 hours like top flying rather than having an overseas trip, which is like around 12, 14 hours.
Yeah.
However, if you're looking for like summer vacations in Europe, this is a perfect destination.
Like, might as well make a vacation out of it. I know, but these are expensive journeys we're taking.
Yeah, so usually what we call is like once a baby will be born, we call it that baby moon phase. So like while you're going to enjoy your baby moon in a different country, like we're going to work on your documents to make sure baby will get the passport and you will leave that back to your home country. For the U.S. citizens, the waiting time in any of the locations is like 3 to 4 weeks. So it's your baby moon for 4 weeks.
Sounds good to me. And you're on baby leave. So let's take the most advantage of it. So let's say I get started with you. I'm ready. I go to Mexico. I go to one of your clinics. Do I do the testing here?
Yeah, it is usually recommendable to do home testings in your home country, home city, because like in case of some abnormalities or like irregular like thing, it's better that we're going to, you will get the treatment in your hometown and then you will be traveling to us to make sure your trip will be productive and like you don't need to come back and like over and over.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. So you get your testing and then you're ready to go to the clinic. And then when you make your, like, then I go to Mexico to retrieve my eggs or no, that wouldn't be, no. Okay, let's pretend I'm a gay couple.
No, like with the retrieving, like we do have death cases as well. Like when we, for example, if you're going through the IVF treatment and like if there is an option, like if you have a time to spend like in our like locations, like around 2 weeks, like we prefer we're going to start your preparation and we're going to monitor you from the day one, like until there's going to be a retrieval. But sometimes there is no flexibility from the work. Like what we do is like we start your preparation in your hometown and you're going to arrive at the end of the retrieval in Mexico or like in Europe, wherever your preferred destination will be.
Got you. And like for a sperm deposit, you just have to schedule it and they go down and they make their deposit. It doesn't take as long. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier. And also this is... because it, you know, we deal with medical insurance, which is a joke, and it's terrible here. In the States, surrogacy is not covered. Everything is out of pocket for us anyway when it comes to these. Even IVF, most of the time, is out of pocket for us. Insurance isn't going to cover it. So it's still going to be, we're still going to be paying for it, like at your, at the Mexico clinic. It's just that it's the prices might be slightly different, I'm assuming.
Yeah, affordable than you're going to have in the States. And also like that we do have insurance in our place. So because, you know, pregnancy is like, as can go in a different scenarios during the pregnancies. I call it like a Pandora box. When somebody's becoming pregnant, you don't know like what kind of like the journey will look like. So we do have insurance in place in case of any like the NICU involvement or like preterm care, like it is covered. So there is no need to find extra funds like on your surrogacy journey. So everything is planned and there is no unexpected surprises regarding the financial side. Like this is also very helpful because recently in the States, like we heard like unexpected preterm neonatal care, like the bills, which exceeds like the law, gazillion money. So like this and that. So like when we plan your journey, we want to make sure you are financially ready, you're mentally ready to engage the journey and you're gonna, because within all the surrogacy journey is like the year, average is a year. So within a year, you're gonna be a parent. So to make sure everything is planned and you're ready for that treatment.
Yeah, it sounds like you look at this holistically and you're not only looking at just the process, you're also looking at after the process happens.
We do have a doula in place because most of the time people who comes with the surrogacy, they're lacking with a doula. So a doula is like the person who's going to be with you during the pregnancy to explain you what this ultrasound means, how the babies are developing throughout the trimester. And also after 20 weeks of the gestation, we are starting your preparation for the arrival in any of the location where your baby will be born to guide you with maternity clinic and especially how to take care of the newborns, because most of the time they have no idea what the newborn will look like. They read in the book or they saw like the friend's baby and this and that. So like we give you all the support as it's possible with the newborns. And we do also checkups to make sure you are staying sane and like
yeah.
you're doing fine. And your baby is doing fine after the birth as well.
So you check in after. And I have never thought about this, but I love the idea of the two dads having a doula with them. You know, like it's not just for the pregnant person. It's also for like, yeah, I never even thought about that. That's awesome.
Is it like society assumes that as a woman, you are naturally born like you have to. But yeah, like especially for the two gay dads, it's like very handful, like and like they are more, you know, like more confident when they see the newborns, because this is a foreign country and like you are not gonna have your friend or your mom or your cousins who's gonna help you like with the first couple of days. And I think doula and us will be there for you.
I love that. That's amazing. So then once this process starts, say it's a two dad couple and they did their thing in Mexico, and then you help them find the egg donor and you help them find the surrogate. Can you tell us a little bit about who your egg donors are and who your surrogates are and, you know, the whole story surrounding, because that's a huge part of it.
Exactly. So especially I've been like experiencing with finding the donors. So I know the pain. With the egg donors, we do have a local egg donors. We have all types of egg donors. Depends what they are looking for. All type of ethnicity. Caucasian egg donors, Mediterranean, like the Asians, like, depends what the phenotype you're looking for. What we do regarding the egg donors is like, since like some of us had the experience finding the donor and it's been challenging. So what we do is like, we do the personalized match. So we ask the based on your preferences and we do like 5-10 profiles each time to go through all of the details to tailor your needs regarding the egg donors. And we found it's very easy now, very easier to choose the egg donor than going on the database and having all of the options.
Right. So you're like kind of like a dating service for the egg donors.
Exactly.
You walk them through it.
That way is.
Yeah. Which is great. It's good to have a hand to hold. But I have spoken to some two dad couples. And actually, I actually have spoken to a couple lesbian couples that actually use an egg donor who some of them get to know their egg donors and talk to them. Is that something that you all do? Or like, what are your thoughts surrounding that?
So there are like different types of egg donors. Some of the egg donors are anonymous egg donors. So like we don't disclose any information about the egg donor. So you will get just the basic characteristics of the egg donor. And some of them are open ID. So that means like that her identity is disclosed to you. And some of them are like, okay, to be contacted after the several years later. So if it's something you are looking for, let's say after 15 years or 10 years that you want you to be contacted egg donor. So yeah, that can be arranged as well.
Right. But not knowing them and staying in contact with them.
Some of them are okay with that. Some of them doesn't want to be in touch right. with the recipient family. So they want to, yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Like intending parent has their set of preferences.
Yes.
And applies to the egg donor. So there is no, this side is like okay to do or this side is okay to do whatever they want. So it's based on the preferences. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you, whoever you are, you can find the right. Got it. That's, yeah. Because I know that Anish and Miguel, they chose one that they could contact when the baby was 18. And good to know that you have your choice of what you're looking for. And surrogates.
Same applies to surrogate care. During the matching process, we're asking intending parents regarding the communication, if they want to attend the during the pregnancy appointment, what they think about that. And the same way we are asking the surrogate carers what they feel about the communication. Do they want to be involved or where are you standing with that? Majority of the time, I can say, like, during the matching process, because surrogacy comes, like, with all of the options. So sometimes you don't know, like, if you want to do, like, within the 3 months, you want to have a communication with surrogate or you don't want to have a communication. So in case of there is no preferences, what we do is, like, after first trimester, like, we are slowly starting the introducing the parent and, like, surrogate to each other, obviously, if there is a wish to do so. Because majority of the time, they want to be in the same room in the maternity clinic, and we don't want total stranger to go, hi, I'm your, like, I'm your parent here. So we want to have a little bit of communication built before that.
And yeah.
Only thing what we do is, like, throughout the surrogacy journey, we are facilitating, like, all the communications, because, like, intending parents are coming from the different countries and there are different upbringings, culture, we use this and that, and the surrogates are local, so we want to make sure everybody is, like, respected and there are guidance regarding the cultural communication things, and because every country upbringing is different, so we want to make sure you feel locally and you're respected over there and you respect the culture you're going in.
Right. And it sounds like you can kind of as intended parents, you can tailor it to how you want it to be.
Exactly.
with your guidance and making sure that everybody's respected and cared for, which is great and how it should be. Okay, last question regarding the surrogates. Well, it might not be the last question, but where do you find them? How do you find surrogates and egg donors?
So, like, pretty much over the years, like, all of our surrogate care, some of the, like, channels are, like, marketing channels, but majority of our surrogate carriers are, like, coming because some of them heard, like, they did the surrogacy journey with us and, like, they heard, like, all the treatment they got, like, throughout the process, or, like, some of them did the surrogacy journey and are returning, like, they are doing the sibling journey for another couple as well. But one of the important thing, like, when having a surrogate carrier in your team is, like, to make sure she completed her family building and she's now ready, like, to help others to build the family.
Yeah. And I know you do all of the psychological testing and make sure, of course. So it sounds like they come from all different kinds of ways, but they're all excited to do this. See, like, I didn't like being pregnant. I would never, ever, ever be a surrogate. It's not for me. But so they're unicorns, in my opinion.
I think they're heroes because, like, having, like, putting 1 year for someone else to help to build a family is like very truly amazing, like, behavior.
I agree 100%. I think they are heroes and they're unicorns, and I will lift them up forever. Yay. Thank you. And egg donors. Thank you. And sperm donors. Thank you, sperm donors. Okay. So that's awesome. And then, so once you get your surrogate and your egg donor and it's all done and we're pregnant, you go through that. And then you have services that you still offer after. So you don't, it's not goodbye.
We don't end, like, our communication as soon as the baby is born. Like, we gonna be on your side to make sure you went back home safely. You have all the things you need. You got all the supports, how to be a new parent and everything, all the aspects. And also, like, even though, like, after the years and years, like, we are still in touch with our intended parents, like, on the Christmas, we would get, oh, look, we turned 5, we turned 2. Yeah. So these are the, I think one of the things what we do, like, when you get randomly on the day, like, message, like, oh, the baby just did the first walk or the first talks. And, like, this is, like, reminder why we do what we do.
Yeah, I love it. And listen, it takes a village to make our families in the Lijipatikwa community. So it's good to have good village around you. Can we go into cost? Are you okay talking about cost?
Yeah.
Money a little bit, because I know in the States, if you do it in the States and you do it with an agency and that, you know, you have your, I mean, you're spending at least $100,000, possibly $200,000 in the States. How does it compare? And it's not going to be cheap. Like, we all know this, like, we're saving, we're deciding against getting a house or having a baby in our community in many instances. So
getting the loans, mortgaging the house, and, like, lots of things. Nobody has extra money for the surrogacy.
Right.
Or like with the international options, like I would recommend you to go to the, as for the LGBT community, especially like I would recommend for them like to go on the locations where there is a surrogacy is fully regulated and there are the laws and your rights are also protected. Because there are lots of countries who is offering the surrogacy, but not everybody has like the legal surrounding over there. And as for the international options, let's say for the Mexico, like we are looking half cost what you would go through the surrogacy.
Oh,
so
wow.
Program cost starts around $60,000 and going 100K. So it depends what you want to do. Do you want to do tandem surrogacy? Do you want to do like the single surrogacy, or you already have existing embryos? So cost varies, like, but like it starts from 60,000 and can go up to 140 if you're doing dual surrogacy. We call it tandem surrogacy.
Right. So
usually for two gay dads, like they want to start together to surrogate to like, you know, to pregnancy same times if it's possible. So
that's amazing. I feel like it's just worth it to have your hand held through it. And then also, however much money we can save on these journeys is such a lifeline, you know. And we're all, when we go into this journey, we're all looking at price and we're all weighing our options and really trying to find the best option and the best price, because it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I know I took out loans, you know. And that was just for sperm and IVF, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so nice to know that there are really agencies out there that are really doing their part. I only speak for my community to give my LGBTQIA community the best options and to help normalize families like ours. Yeah. And it means a lot. And it means a lot. And I said it before we were recording. It means a lot to have agencies like yours who actually like sponsor shows like this that help get our stories out there, right? You're helping to normalize our family building journeys. And I think that says really so much about who you are as an agency and what you stand for. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I think like, thank you so much for that. And I think like it all always comes down to the price, but also you have to like, what I recommend whoever the initial calls I'm doing, consultations I'm doing, like, don't jump on the first agency. Do as many research as possible. Ask as many difficult questions as possible, because at the end of the day, you are building your family. So you are making the call. So you want to know exactly if something goes wrong, and especially it's a pregnancy, it's a IVF, it's a medical, lots of things can go wrong, where you will be spending, like, financially, like the program wise and everything, like the time wise. So
yeah, I love that. And I think that weighing your options is great, and ask all the, yes, everything you just said. Where can people find you, and like if they're ready to start this, what would you recommend?
Well, I would recommend to first like schedule the initial consultation, like to see like where are we sending and if we are right fit for them. There are like lots of agencies, lots of clinics. Everybody has a different values and different standings regarding surrogacy. And I think like for you is like to find what if we are sharing the same values, same understanding about the surrogacy. So
yeah, and the consultation is free.
It's free. So
yeah. Yeah. And if you mention the Queer Family Podcast and you are going to get services at Be Parent, you get $2,000 off, which is amazing.
Extra help, like for you.
Any extra help goes a long way. Any extra help, really. So everybody go to beparentsurrogacy.com, right? That's the website, beparentsurrogacy.com, and book that consultation. It doesn't hurt to just find them, try them out, ask the questions.
We're here to guide you as much as we can.
I love it. And just after hearing Anish and Miguel's story, I think you guys, y'all are doing good work over there. So thank you for being here for our community.
Queer Family Podcast.
A huge thank you to our sponsors of this here episode, California Cryobank and Be Parent Surrogacy. Learn more about them, find the promo codes and the links to their websites in the show notes. Make those babies, y'all, and then come tell me about them.
Love is love.
Whew. Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that episode as much as I enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, feel free to listen to another or watch another. I have so many episodes for your listening or viewing pleasure. Just go pick one and enjoy. There's a lot. There really is. And also, if you really do like this show, please, I know I say it all the time, but please do consider supporting the show on Patreon. You're just going to go to patreon.com/thequeerfamilypodcast. You're going to pick a tier, you're going to join, and you're going to get that bonus content. And you're also going to get my love and adoration for the rest of my life. I love you all. Thanks for tuning in. Keep on tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Mwah.
Welcome to I'm Feeling Queer Today. This season, we're taking a queer road trip all around the country.
Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Cape Cod.
Provo, Utah.
Columbus, Ohio.
Philadelphia.
To answer the big question, what is it like to be queer where you live?
Utah is known as like the Mormon state,
but we actually have a really big community, and for the most part, it's really loving.
If I want to be a queer Mormon, I can be a queer Mormon.
I always say I love Columbus, I don't like Ohio.
I'm trans, so like I hope they can see Spartanburg. You can be a reasonably happy queer adult.
Provincetown taught me to be more adventurous. I get free drag shows every day. Just have to look out my window.
You know what place is really cool? Philly. I mean, we have a gayerhood for a reason, you guys.
I'm Feeling Queer Today. New episodes drop every Thursday.